Reading from John's Gospel from Mark's Gospel and from the Acts of the Holy Spirit. I know most translations say Acts of the Apostles, but it's the Holy Spirit that's in the whole thing. And the nice thing about that is that it doesn't end there. Someone has written a book called Acts 29. Now, you may be aware that Acts ends with chapter 28. But Acts 29 has been being written since the conclusion of those words and the conclusions of those actions. Our God has still been busy. I realize that it's Palm Sunday, but the story has taken us through Pentecost and through the witness by which we share what God has done and is doing. Yes, through Palm Sunday, through Passion Week, through the resurrection, but far beyond into this day, this time. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him. They shouted, "Hosanna! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Don't be afraid, daughter Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on the donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand these things at first. After he was glorified, they remembered that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. And from Acts 15, beginning with verse 37, "But Jesus let out a loud cry and died. The curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood facing Jesus saw how he died, he said, 'This man was certainly God's son.'" And from Acts 2, "When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Therefore, let all Israel know," Peter says, "beyond question that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." When the crowd heard this, they were deeply troubled. They said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Change your hearts and lives. Each of you must be baptized in the name of Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God invites." With many other words, he testified to them and encouraged them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Those who accepted Peter's message were baptized. God brought about 3,000 people into the community on that day. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Gracious Lord, we do give thanks and praise for this time, and we thank you for this unique opportunity of a bit of a hodgepodge this morning, but all part of a cohesive whole. The reminder of what happened that Palm Sunday, of what happened in that Passion Week in which Jesus offered himself for our sins, and what has happened as you have called us, as your witnesses, and have empowered us and equipped us for that witness and that service, that discipleship to which you call us and all the world. We praise you in Jesus' matchless name, asking that you would open our hearts, our minds, our spirits, that we would hear from you, and that you would speak to and give each of us something we need this day. In Jesus' name, amen. As we mentioned earlier, the story which we wisely have included this day. One, because we kind of like to finish before Mother's Day, and we are taking off next week, but also because it brings it all together in such a powerful way. Because the witness of the church, the witness that is spoken of in the story, the witness of those early Christians who first received the Holy Spirit, who first went into the streets after having been locked behind closed doors, and who had given themselves, sometimes quite heroically, in the cause of Christ, found the basis of what they said and what they did on the basis of what we have talked about the past 2 weeks and which we have begun again to talk about today. That Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. And Jesus Christ calls us into this new relationship with this God we serve, who has gone to such great lengths for the crown jewel of God's creation. This humanity, which all too often continues to show signs of the infection of this sin virus that has been a part of humanity since the fall of man into sin. And the sin virus entered literally all our bloodstreams. But thank God the antidote and the antivirus is being applied. It's not a quick process, is it? The world resists being changed, resists being transformed with this power of God, this love that reaches out in our unworthiness. This love that reaches out even amidst the hate and the hateful acts and deeds that happen all around us, the hurtful words that are spoken, the hurtful actions that are taken. All of these things that weigh so heavily upon us. God is seeking to quietly help the antivirus to do its thing. And for God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to continue the work that began that day at Calvary. That vindication that came with the resurrection. That empowerment that became evident at Pentecost. And the task to which we have been called, and the reminder that God does not call us to do anything that God does not also equip us to somehow manage and somehow fulfill. That God isn't the business, isn't about the business of leaving us hanging out there to dry. That God is at work to rescue us and to use us as vessels in God's rescue for others. For God isn't content, as Peter would put it, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God isn't through with this world. God hasn't given up on it. That same intimate relationship that God enjoyed in those first days with Adam and Eve, God desires to have with all who will be transformed by the power of God through Christ Jesus. Yes, we remember the palms. We remember the celebration. We remember that glorious parade followed by the infamous parade to the cross. But we remember the victory of resurrection, the empowerment of God, and the call to allow God to continue God's work through us in Acts 29 and beyond. Gracious Lord, we give thanks and praise for your love and call. Lord, we are reminded that you died for us, and we dare never forget that. But Lord, each Sunday is a touch of the resurrection as well, and we dare never forget that, and how it's all tied together for us, and hopefully within us, reaching out to a fallen world. In Jesus' name, amen. As the choir sings this morning another anthem, we ask if there are those among us who have needs, whether it's to discover Jesus for the first time, to recommit your life, or any need that you may have, we would invite you to come as they sing for us.